Think Realty Nation, what's up? It's your host, Abhi Gohar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. Now, we have somebody on the show today that will blow your mind. Every time I talk to him, the feeling that I get after having a conversation with this gentleman is one very akin to my CPA. It's like, you know, you kind of wish you had the conversations earlier to spot the gaps in your strategy, and then you leave feeling like you just got your mind blown, and you hate not having to know that, like, you wanted that information, like, last year, the year before, and you know you should have met with this person on time, but you never did, and so now you're kind of stuck dealing with the heartache. That's how I feel every time I talk to my good friend Rick Malero, who's the president and CEO of His Capital Group. We don't have anything scripted. We're just going to have a really good conversation about the market, what his thoughts are, what he's doing, and some of the trends that he's seeing as we're kind of getting prepped. He was talking about some opportunities outside of the country. Now you have a guy that lives in Florida that's thinking, I don't want to invest in the States right now. I want to go outside the States. So that's interesting. Let's go to Mexico, this guy. Huge shout out to today's sponsor, Rentify, a verification platform allowing property management companies and real estate investors to verify a prospective renter's financial information. You want to check it out. Go to trustrentify.com. Use coupon code ThinkRealty for 20% off your purchase, of your first purchase price. They provide you a summary of payroll income, rent bill payment history for this prospective tenant, and highlighting a bunch of red flags too. So check it out. All right, I'm going to talk to him. Before I do, I want to give a shout out to everybody here watching, listening, because you're going to join us at the Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo, September 18, 19. That's really important to do that. I'm going to be there. You need to be there. Some awesome people are going to be there, and you're going to learn a lot. And if you don't do that, you're a loser. To sign up, go to thinkrealty.com/Baltimore. You type in the code podcast and you'll get a 2-for-1. So you register for 2 tickets and you'll essentially pay the price of only 1 ticket. And we made that possible for you guys. Good double shooter. All right, let's go to Rick, man. Dude, welcome to the show. It's been such a long time. You are a constant guest on the Real Estate Deal Talk show, which is my first radio show, and then subsequently the Think Realty radio show. You were on all the time. And man, we had conversations when Trump took office. We had conversations even when Trump was leaving. I mean, it's been just so much information. So many things have happened. You consistently blow my mind with your strategies. I've stolen the 40-40-20 rule. So I use that when I keynote across the country. I'm not sending you a check because I'm the one that keynoted, and you just threw three numbers together and woo. So, all right. That being said, I would have you talk about yourself, but everybody can Google you or just go to hiscapitalgroup.com. Dude, if I'm an investor, what's the number one strategy that I should be focused on right now to make more money?
You know, that's a loaded question. A very loaded question.
I mean, that's what we do, though. This is off the cuff. Let's do it.
At the end of the day, this is a really interesting market that we're facing today. It's unprecedented due to the fact that obviously we're still trying to climb our way out of this COVID nation situation going on. And really what I try to tell our investors and anyone that's trying to get in the game, there is always in any stage of the real estate cycle opportunity for you to be able to maximize based on the stages of the real estate cycle. And so it's very important when you're doing that to just really start looking at what you currently have as far as resources and what your temperament is in order for you to start really identifying some of the strategies. Now, there's a lot that I'm sure we'll talk about today.
Sure.
So I'll leave some of that for a little bit later. But, you know, right now, the real key is making sure that you have some cash flow in your pocket flowing every single month and to start stacking some money for some great opportunities that are around the corner. Because at the end of the day, as the market transitions, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for investors to capitalize on those types of investments.
So
now if you're a flipper, you know, for example, if those guys are flipping deals, you know, and you're competing with 99% of the population that's overpaying, Infill lot construction is a really great strategy. We've pivoted and implemented that pretty consistently in our business, and that's going pretty well. So again, it's just trying to find where you are in the game and start leveling up little by little.
So you mentioned, okay, so there's a lot to unpack. Number one, we talked about, you mentioned the real estate market cycle. What are the different stages of the market cycle and where are we right now?
You know, that's let me just kind of give you kind of the basics. So a lot of people say, so why do we even have a cycle to begin with, right? And so it really just comes down to this. If you kind of take a look at the way that money flows, when I spend money, and let's say I buy something from Abhi Gohar here, Abhi makes money, and then Abhi takes that money and spends the money, right?
Yep.
And when he spends that money, he's able to transact with somebody else. So that's generally the flow of capital, right?
Yeah.
Now, when I am paying Abhi even more money because I'm going to him on a regular basis, Abhi's making more money, which means he can spend more money. And what that ultimately does is that allows somebody else to make more money. So before you know it, you have this productivity cycle of growth that's happening based on the expenditure of those people. Now, here's what ends up happening. When you take credit into the equation, where somebody loans you money you don't have to spend, what happens in essence, you now can spend something you don't have. And what you're doing is you're hoping that in the future, your future self will make enough money to pay back what you borrowed in the first place. But what ends up happening is now you have this money that you technically didn't have. You start spending more, people are making more, and therefore they're spending more.
Yes.
And so the cycle has this growth.
Yes.
But then later on, when you have to pay back what you borrowed in the first place, you have to spend less in order to pay that back. And so little by little, it has a negative effect.
Yes.
So I guess the picture I want to paint first when you look at a real estate cycle is that it's really impacted significantly by debt. Because in the future, you're going to guarantee to have a cycle bubble because you have to basically pay the piper what you borrowed in the first place, right? So that's kind of the whole premise of having a cycle. It's really connected to debt. And so when you look at the market cycle, you have, of course, the growth stage, which everybody's familiar with, which is you're transacting, you're selling, there's a lot of opportunity, prices are going up. But during that time, there comes a point where you end up having more inventory than you have demand, and you end up getting to what is called the saturation stage. That saturation stage is truly the most dangerous, in my opinion, because it still feels like there's growth, but technically you're overbuilding, you have more inventory than you need, and so it's only a matter of time before there's a correction. That leads to, of course, a decline, which is another stage of the cycle, which is where the market is going down, prices are adjusting, and of course, typically investors that are savvy are able to capitalize on great opportunities during the decline of the cycle. And then that ultimately gets to a point of absorption, where all of a sudden, the inventory that's left behind is being absorbed by cash investors, and little by little, that brings us back to the upswing of the growth cycle. So again, it's very cyclical, and it's connected to debt. So that's why we'll always have to deal and contend with the cycle itself. So hopefully that gives you a picture of kind of how that works in 45 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my really, that really breaks it down well. If you are looking for a super in-depth version of like how the economy works, Ray Dalio has a very good video on this on YouTube called The Economic Machine, where he really dives super deep into some of these concepts. So again, just as a resource, if you want to start learning more about that, for you, the viewer, that's like, huh, that seems kind of interesting. So in this market today, you mentioned that there were some opportunities that are coming around the corner that we need to be aware of. What are some of those opportunities, and why are those opportunities we should take a look at?
Right. Well, let me first start by saying that when you look at the real estate cycle today, right, a lot of people are saying, Rick, you won't believe this. The market's going to crash. The prices cannot be consistently growing at this stage. And to a degree, I do agree with the fact that at some point, prices have to level off, right? But what people don't realize is that when you go back to 2006, right before when the market was red hot, things were happening. To give you perspective, in 2006, based on population growth in America and migration patterns from overseas and from the whole nation, you literally had a demand of about approximately 1.2 million homes that needed to be built based on that growth, okay? We built over 2.6.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your sign. We were building way more than what we needed. In fact, double the amount is what we were building. Now, understand that when the market crashed, it was an economic deleverage. So it was substantial. So for almost, literally, I would say till about 2012 and 13, nobody was building new construction. but people were still coming, people were still growing, kids are growing up, right? And so what ends up happening is, based on our current situation right now, putting COVID aside now, I'm just saying like in general,
okay,
based on population growth, based on demand, based on people moving here from all parts of the globe, America needs approximately 5 million homes just to break even. That's how many homes are needed. That's the actual hole that we're in.
And that's why we're investing in Mexico?
Oh, I'll tell you that later.
Okay.
That's a whole nother
movie. All right.
So part of the strategy now, so we're in a growth stage, and it's a really unique stage right now because, again, based on population growth and demand, the numbers say that we have to build more just to keep up with the current demand. So if you want to be an investor and you want to make money, one of the best strategies, if you're a flipper, quote unquote, is either double down on your marketing to get off market deals, or B, start finding infill lots and start developing those single family homes, because there is currently a significant demand. And the big Pulte homes and the big, you know, monster institutional builders are still not able to keep up with the current demand. So this is a great time to be able to double down if you're a flipper and start building some, you know, spec homes that are affordable. So that's one of the strategies in the US. Now, there's another reason why I'm looking elsewhere, and I could talk about that in a minute if you want, but we are still doing that in the States. We're still doing rental properties, but in many cases, we're building our own equity right now if we're doing our equity side. And that's just because we recognize that there's a need in the marketplace, and we're building things that we know we can either A, rent long-term and cash flow if for whatever reason the market shifts, or B, things that are in unique markets that justify short-term rental income so that we can actually create some pretty solid cash flow with those strategies. So again, just some cool little things that are available now that just weren't there 10, 15 years ago.
So if you're looking at investing in the US, you've got your major markets, you have your primary markets, Atlanta, Dallas, Austin, Seattle, major markets, Chicago, New York. And then you have secondary and tertiary markets, markets that are not big. They might be an Alpharetta, Georgia, right? They might be a Jacksonville, Florida. Maybe not Jacksonville. I think that's a bad example. Jacksonville, well, it used to be a secondary market, like I think 3 years ago, and now it's just like red hot. The West Palm, for example, something like this. And so is the opportunity, you mentioned doubling down on marketing. That's really hard to do in a market like Atlanta, where I'm going to have to blanket the city like eight times over just to get noticed, because everybody else and their mom is sending yellow postcards and pink postcards with blue ink and neon, whatever, right? Like everybody's playing that game in the major cities, not necessarily in the secondary and tertiary markets to that extent. If you're looking at the US, is that where you're looking, or are you looking elsewhere?
Well, you know what's really interesting, and to make it even more difficult, right, to try to find opportunities, you have people that are living upstate New York and other parts of New York and even California, and there's like this massive exodus. I don't know why everybody keeps coming down to Florida. I'm like, please leave us alone. But the truth is, right. So imagine with a really competitive market, and now you have people that sold their house for $600,000-$700,000. And so they're actually overpaying for properties right now just to get somewhere so they can move and be here in Florida, because they'd rather be here than up north, because they're starting to recognize that they don't need to work from a specific place and they can enjoy a much better bang for the buck by moving somewhere else. And so that's another factor that normally you wouldn't see, right? And so that's something really important to consider. But you're right. If you're an investor and you're competing in a market that is very competitive, aside from doubling down strategies, a lot of follow-up, you can use what we call the concentric ring theory, which is kind of what you're talking about, Avi, which is where you look at a major market and you draw a circle around there within 30 to 45 miles, and you start looking at these sub-markets where a lot of people still commute to work in the main market. So I'll give you one example. If you look at, and I hate to even say this because I'm doing a lot of business here and I don't want people to know about it, but like one of my, I call it fishing ponds, is in Lakeland, right? Because Lakeland is a pretty solid city. It's growing, it's developing, it has a great opportunity. But around Lakeland, you can literally have up to 8 million people if you're going down to Tampa or if you're going up to Orlando, right? And so it's a beautiful place for distribution. Amazon and all these great employers are going there because they recognize that they have access to 8 million people with their delivery systems within the radius of just a couple of miles. And so those are solid, call it B markets, that are still impacted by these major markets. And a lot of people are not marketing nearly as much in those markets. So again, great places. And what I tell investors, again, part of that is switching up on your strategy. If it doesn't work because you're trying to flip deals and the numbers don't make sense, then level up. Start finding ways that you can build your own inventory in a market that there's demand. Whether you're building a duplex, a fourplex, a single family home, you have to start getting creative and evolving with the market. You can't keep taking risk and gambling. That's not investment. And so a lot of times you have to pivot within the stage of the cycle. And right now, this is a perfect time to adjust some of those strategies and create your own inventory.
Do you follow the fear and greed index?
No.
So essentially, I look at it every now and then, and it's I have it right on my phone. It's essentially, it identifies the emotion that's driving the market right now. You can go to CNNmoney.com, and then they have this, and it says the previous close, the market is either feeling fearful or greedy, right here. So check that out. Right there. It's a little blurry. Maybe, yeah. Fear. There you go. Fear and greed index. So what this index is telling me is, hey, right now people are feeling a little fearful of what's going on in the marketplace. Do you think that has anything to do with the way that me, an individual investor, should be looking at real estate? Is there any correlation there, or should I just say,
absolutely.
Screw it,
I don't care,
it doesn't matter?
You know, to be honest with you, I look at Warren Buffett's quote. I think it's perfect for this. I mean, when people get greedy, I get fearful.
Yeah.
But when people get fearful, I get greedy. And so this is really the time to really start looking at your investment approach, even if you're just an individual. You have to remember that you're looking at real estate if you're going to hold from a longer term perspective anyway. So you want to make sure that the numbers work today so that long term you have that growth in equity as well. So from my perspective, I'm not scared that people are scared. I'm actually excited, because what that tells me is that when people are fearful, that means that there's opportunity, and you're going to have people out there that are going to be distressed because they're afraid. They're going to make decisions that create opportunities for those that see beyond this particular moment in time. And that's a big component you need to consider. And so a lot of people say, Rick, flipping is dead. It's not dead. Yes, you can level up if you're going to scale. But I mean, we're still buying flips. We're still going to emerging markets that we're really tapping into and buying some great properties.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of just, again, stick to your guidelines of what that risk tolerance is and get creative on how you do it.
Yeah.
And for us to scale, we just had to add building, because that's the only way we're going to keep the numbers we're doing. But for a regular guy, just pick another market and start getting aggressive there. And you'll be amazed at what kind of opportunities will show up.
Yeah, exactly. If you get frustrated with your market, like I've been with Atlanta, why keep banging your head against the brick wall? Tony Robbins says that, right? Like if you bang your head against a brick wall, you try and you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's called insanity. Right? Like, why don't you try something different? If you live on the coasts and you're spending a lot of money trying to find properties to buy, or you're really spending money buying properties, then go take a look at the Midwest, right? Go take a look at some of these markets that we're talking about here today. Alabama, South Carolina even has some really good opportunities. Mm-hmm. Chattanooga, Tennessee, very underrated town, great town. And there's a lot of opportunity there. I mean, they've got startup city. It's incredible what Chattanooga has. Who would have thought? Freaking Chattanooga, Tennessee. And their whiskey's pretty good, too. So, you know, you go check it out. But, man, we could talk about this for hours. We probably should at some point and just do, like, a four-hour show. But one of the things that HisCapitalGroup.com puts out is the following. It's a forecast. It's an economic forecast. It's quarterly. It's quarterly, right? Is it quarterly?
It is. It is. We've been a little bit, I call it quarterly-ish this past year and a half, just because then there's a lot of components that we're still waiting on regarding COVID. And so sometimes you're like, well, once this happens and that'll hit. So, you know, ish.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, I thought it was just because it takes you just an extra week or two to find the right suit to wear, because you just graced the cover of that PDF. Oh, okay. It's Rick being Rick, bougie Rick, you know. He's got to figure out the right kind of shirt to wear, you know. That's just what he does. But this forecast actually talks through a lot of good detail on what's happening, what you guys think, what your economist thinks and predicts is going to happen. And the and potential strategies you can use to monetize, to benefit from where we are today. So I think that's really cool. That's coming out in September, October,
yeah.
Late September? Okay.
Yeah, that's the goal. So we should have the next one coming up around that time with a basic forecast of what we're seeing. And so I'm hoping that once that's ready, obviously, Abhi, we've known each other for so long, I'll make sure you have it so you can forward it on, or they can go to our website and request it. And we'll be happy to make sure that we provide it at no cost.
Absolutely. So go check out hiscapitalgroup.com. Rick and his team have been doing incredible work over the last many years in the lending, even in now their equity side, in getting into deals. We didn't talk about Mexico. We'll do that next time, I'm sure. But, you know, listen, there are opportunities stateside. There are opportunities out of the U.S. as well. It just depends on where you want to put your time and attention. You can make money in any market. You've got to be first to the deal. You have to have the right capital partners. You have to have the right strategy. You have to know what the heck you're doing. And once you marry all of those things, that then turns into luck, right? Like, that is there. Then you're there. Then you have a chance to make something happen. And what we're talking about today, what Rick's talking about today, is here's how you can get the best chance to make that happen. So, Rick, thanks a lot for the time. It's always fun. I know this is super last minute, but I'm glad I can catch you. I caught you for about 15, 20 minutes. This is very, very helpful, really good information. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. It's a pleasure as always.
Hey, likewise. Huge shout out to today's sponsor, Rentify, a verification platform allowing property management companies and real estate investors to verify a prospective renter's financial information. You want to check it out. Go to trustrentify.com. Use coupon code ThinkRealty for 20% off your purchase of your first purchase price. They provide you a summary of payroll income, rent bill payment history for this prospective tenant, and highlighting a bunch of red flags too. So check it out. Think Realty Nation, that's a wrap. You got any questions, hit me anywhere online at Abhi Golhar. You can sign up for the Think Realty Conference and Expo coming up September 18th and 19th in Baltimore, Maryland. You want to check that out. Go to thinkrealty.com/Baltimore, and guess what happens? You will sign up. And when you sign up for that event, type in the code PODCAST, and make sure you register for two tickets, not one ticket. Register for two tickets, type in the code PODCAST, and we'll only charge you for one ticket. So really good. We've got both the in-person event and also the virtual event. So if you want to hang out at home in your jammies that you haven't, you've worn for the last year and a half, you can do that too. It's not a bad idea. I might consider doing that this year. So that's a wrap. Get in touch. Until next time, happy investing.